raised a lot of issues, and for me, I was wondering now, when we use words like soul, mm-hmm. or when we choose to go with a more absolutist understanding that's shared by also other religious traditions, then as we leave the religious of domains and say go into secular society, into science, there are lots of philosophical thinking there, and there's rational egoism or moral egoism. Buddhism has been in some ways bringing a non-self antidote to egoism.
Yes.
Aren't we, is the Western society not going to sort of fall for Buddha nature as also another sort of cornerstone to build further egoism? Is there any risk of associating that with self-centricity?
Well, there's a risk, yes. There's a risk of over-assimilating it, of course, to non-Buddhist ideas. That's always a risk. But in a way, at least for the religious people, if it goes more in the direction that Buddhists are truly spiritual, and this connects to another issue, which I'd like to raise. It's a debate I've been having in the past with His Holiness. And when he was invited to Muslim countries, once or twice he has been, unfortunately, sadly, the Chinese too much tend to block the visa, but he's been in a very good dialogue with Muslims in different times and places as much as possible, you know, given the current situation in the world. And there is that expression in India that Buddhism and Jainism are non-theistic. And, you know, then Hinduism is theistic and, you know, Christianity, Islam, they're all theistic, right? There's a general usage like that in India that everybody understands. And so His Holiness goes, he says, he likes to say, yeah, we're the non-theistic, we're one of the non-theistic traditions, speaking in terms of what he's used to from in India. But actually, of course, it's not correct because we have Lai, La Mambo Shivujiorta. We have lots of deities. And even in beginning Buddhism, you know, in the legend of Buddha's birth, Brahma and Indra are waiting for him when he comes out of his mother's womb, you know, steps out very painlessly and happily, luckily for the mom, comes out the side, and then Brahma Indra are there, you know, giving bath and welcoming him. And he goes to the heaven to teach his mother, and then he comes back down at Sankhasya with Brahma and Indra escorting him. And there are so many Pali suttas where he's talking to deities all the time. It's only that the Buddha criticizes correctly, I mean logically, the idea of a single one who creates everything. That's considered a mistaken view, and correctly so. And even there's a wonderful thing in the Brahmajala Sutta where Buddha says there's a certain type of person who's a fanatic monotheist. And then he says, and why can you never convince that type of person that God, there is not a creator God? And he said, well, when that person in a previous life, recent previous life, was Brahma in a particular world, he thought when he wondered where everybody was at the beginning of the world cycle, and then other deities appeared around him, he thought that his wish for them had created them. So he thought he was the creator in that previous life. I think it was such a marvelous thing. I almost fainted when I read that. It's in the Pali Brahmajala Sutta, you know. And that's Buddha's analysis of why certain people are fanatic monotheists who can't change their view. And I just, amazing analysis, I thought, by Buddha's clairvoyance, supposedly. And but my point is that Buddha, so we are in a way relative theists, you could say, or we are theists but not monotheists, you could say, or we're theists but not creator theists. You know, I was trying to encourage him, you know, we had this debate once here in America because he was going to a Muslim country, and he always says that he's from a non-theistic tradition. So I was trying to say, Your Holiness, when you say that to a pious Muslim in a Muslim country where they're not used to seeing, you know, being out like in New Delhi with all kinds of other worldviews or in New York, and you say we're non-theistic, somebody will hear that like you're a demon, you know. You know, you're like, you know, you should be destroyed. You are evil. I mean, subconsciously, they will have that reaction. The more educated ones will understand that you're speaking in terms of not a creator, but the other ones will freak out. So why don't you try to say, we believe in deities, we believe in spirituality, we believe in life, etc., but we don't believe in a creator. Just say, and he wouldn't agree with me. He said, no, that's what we say in India. Of course, we have a debate, so we sometimes don't. We agree not to agree. And a good Tibetan tradition. But then he said, well, what do you say? And then I say, well, you can say infinitheistic. I'm infinitheistic. And that said of monotheistic, infinitheistic, like infinite theistic, or mystical theistic, or say any other thing. Because, you know, the Abrahamic traditions, they are mystics like Meister Eckhart. You know, they have experiences of merging with clear light, which they consider God. And they realize, and they then teach that you can't say God is humanoid. Do you know what I mean? In the sort of popular way. It's like a person, you know, sitting there like a chief or something. And they have experiences like that, but they're suppressed in the more Western countries in the history of them. Those people often were executed actually as being heretics by the official church. Whereas in India, and therefore in Tibet and in East Asia, the Buddhists were able in more wealthy countries, actually, for the, I believe is the reason, less authoritarian countries, they were able to get away with being oneness, talking about being one with the divine, you know. So therefore, they didn't execute you if you said, oh, I experienced godhood, you know, like Tattvamasi, you know, the Brahmins, for example, you know, or and Buddhists where, you know, you become Buddha, you know, and you become a Nirmanakaya, you know.